Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party has already started.
Faith lights up the darkened plain. Mile by mile we bravely ride, with God's goodness as our guide.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in here and say thanks for tuning in. Hope you're being blessed by our conversations. Ask you to reach out to us. I'd like to hear from you. FindingOurWay.co. You can go there. You can find where the show is, all of our podcasts, YouTube, everything's there. Even got a little blog. But there's a place that says contact us. Hit that and you can send us an email. We'd love to hear from you.
I was thinking about that passage you read earlier. When Jesus was baptized, and I don't even know what I can say about it other than the Father verbally to John the Baptist and those that could hear said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom or in him I am well pleased." That's Jesus' beginning, and we always say his ministry. I don't even know how I look at that anymore, but he lived his whole life. It was a ministry from birth to ascension. But anyway, neither here nor there. But just thinking about it, because for me personally, what Jesus must have heard when he come up out of the water, and he heard the Father, "This is my much loved Son." I'm very fond of him.
Yeah.
Because that's the longing of my heart to hear. That's
yeah.
Not that I don't, but every time I hear it, I want to hear it again.
Well, it's kind of like think about in your family, or
if it's or God, looks like,
or in your marriage, that you love one another. You tell your wife, "I love you." She tells you, "I love you," but you like to hear it again.
Yeah.
You need to say it again.
Yeah.
Even though it's a given, it's not under, there's not a problem, there's no question of if it's true. It's not that, it's just there's something about it in a healthy relationship,
yeah,
that you need to say and they need to hear how you feel, what you think. Because the silence gives way to supposition.
Yeah.
I'm guessing now. Cause
so there needs to be conversation of some kind.
That's why there's conversation. I'm not left wondering what you think, how you feel, what you believe, because you are saying it.
Yeah.
And a father can be proud of his son, but he needs to say that.
That's right.
And not assume, well, don't you know?
Yeah.
That I'm proud of you. Don't you know I love you? Well, I assume so, but
yeah,
it's good to hear.
Oh, yeah. Well, they'll put some rock on this road.
They have put some rock on this road. Oh, yeah. We're going to smooth it out, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
they needed to. This was that boggy place. We had to get in four-wheel drive to get up this hill.
But yeah, that's, I think, the life of Jesus was he was revealing. You know, he was an ongoing conversation between him and the Father.
Yeah.
It didn't begin at the baptism. It got revealed and came more public at his baptism. Matter of fact, I remember one time Jesus said, "This voice was not for me."
Yeah, that's right.
One time the Father spoke, "It was for you."
Yeah. Okay. Got me thinking there. Did he? Okay, there was one time that the Father spoke, "This is my beloved Son." He said, "This wasn't for me, but for you."
Yeah.
And did he not, at the tomb of Lazarus, when he said, "He always hears me"?
Yeah.
"I say this for them."
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says, "You always," he said, talking to the Father, "you always hear me, but I'm saying this for them."
For them.
Yeah.
All right, so again, we go back to the conversation of the Father and the Son expressing, verbalizing.
Even though they know.
Even though it's not the only time they make these statements to one another.
Yeah.
I think if I was picking up what you were putting down about the baptism.
Yes.
It wasn't like.
Jesus had heard that before.
Yes. Well, I won't say there was three times in the New Testament that it's recorded that God audibly spoke from heaven, "You are my beloved Son."
Yeah.
But the impression I get, I don't know, I don't know if I hold this up in a debate or not, that was not the only time.
No.
It was just the only recorded times is what I get out of that.
And used to, I think, when you say spoke from heaven, I would think he's way off up yonder somewhere, but really he was just right here.
True, true.
Because there's no separation.
Exactly. Well, yeah, there was no separation.
That next world is just right there.
Well, Jesus, okay, now you're going to open up another can of worms.
So much so that we're in it.
Yeah. Well, John 3 talked about no man can know God but he that came down from heaven.
And is in heaven.
Yeah, he's like, "I'm here, but I'm really there." You're like, "Oh, I don't know what you just said there."
Yeah, yeah.
And then later he says, "He that sent me is with me."
Yes.
And then as he was looking at the cross, he's like, "Y'all are all going to leave me, but I'm not alone, but I'm never alone because he is with me."
Yeah.
Again, there's this language in Scripture that we don't pick up on sometimes, or we don't pay attention to, or I don't.
Yeah.
Or I didn't early in my life and in following Jesus, because you do want to, when you start out in your walk with the Lord, you do think about God in heaven, like our Father who art in heaven.
Yeah.
We want to put him way up there above the clouds somewhere and us way off down here.
Yeah.
Because we're so literal and physical and time and space dominated.
Yep.
And then we begin to realize that that's an idea and a concept, but let's don't get literal about it.
Yeah.
Because he is here. He is with us. He is in us. Like the kingdom of heaven is within.
Yeah.
It is at hand.
Yeah.
Making stuff up.
So I'm thinking about Jesus hearing the Father when the Father says that what he did at his baptism. And some moments in my own life when I've hurt. And I just, mainly for me, hearing something like that, it's just, I'm just overwhelmed. I have absolutely no care, and there is peace, and there is joy,
mm-hmm.
and it just that's where I want to live from. In that resting place of hearing, I belong to Him.
Yeah, well, I think that's what Jesus was communicating in Luke 4:4, which was a quote out of Deuteronomy 8. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Life.
It is life-giving.
But describe it. There's life.
There's life in it. Yeah. When we do perceive a word from the Lord, how life-giving it is and sustaining it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good measuring stick. Not just want to measure something. Is there any life on that?
One of the ways you know it's Him, it's life-giving.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's not giving life,
probably not Him. It's freeing. It's liberating. Truth sets you free. It's liberating.
Yes, yes.
It's life-giving. Leading you out of darkness into light.
Yeah.
It's loving.
I mean, it circles back around to... It's the goodness of God.
Mm-hmm.
It leads to repentance.
Yeah.
What's that mean? It's not the wrath and the meanness of God.
No.
The threats.
Well, He didn't have any of that anyway. I just thought He did.
The threats.
That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah. You might get that down at the church house.
Oh, you will.
The goodness of God leads to repentance.
Yeah.
So that tells me that people that aren't, and even my own self, if I'm not changing my mind, to what God thinks and what God says, I'm not seeing the goodness of God. Because
that's
if
true.
I could see the goodness of God, my mind would change. And if my mind changes, my life is going to change.
Yes. Well, all right, if I understand what Jesus did in His coming, just the incarnation piece of where He became one of us, lived as us, identified with us, that simply in that fact alone, He is revealing to all of us how the Father sees us.
Yeah.
And that as the Father spoke over Jesus, "This is my beloved Son," He speaks that over us.
Yes.
But changing your mind to think like that, without trying to hold God hostage of, "Well, I've never heard Him say that audibly."
Yeah.
You know, that could be an objection somebody might have.
But that comes back to Psalm 2:7, where He says, I will reveal the decree of the Lord.
Yes. Well, that's what God's decreed. You're mine.
Yeah. You're my beloved.
How about this paraphrase application of that Psalm 2? And I'm going to crush every rebellious thought you have otherwise by my love.
Because that's what love does.
That's what love. Yeah, because love is kind and patient. But it's going to be.
But we kind of grew up on this idea that if you didn't do something a certain way or say the prayer or ask Jesus into your heart.
Oh, yeah.
And that day when you die, you stand before God, He's gonna kick you straight to hell.
Yeah,
because you
rejected
Jesus.
There was gonna be some kind of retributive, punitive something.
Is that what
something
love something. Does?
Yeah.
Oh, that's where I'm at. No, I'm not really concerned about working out the intricacies of the afterlife. I want you to know the God I'm coming to know. I'm getting to know better and better. He's more better than what we think. He is good. I want people to know him. He is good.
Well, we're finding our way into the goodness of God.
That's exactly right.
Even if the journey is sometimes appears to be slow,
a lot of
meandering around, of going down some dead end streets, and
yeah,
wrestling out ideas and thoughts and concepts.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what this scripture means or that scripture means.
So why don't you read that scripture out of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11.
You've got a translation preference?
The Passion. Because what we're talking about was Jesus' baptism and hearing, "This is my beloved Son," which is an echo or quote Psalm 2, the context of what you read earlier. I will reveal the eternal purpose of God, for he has decreed over me, you are my favored son. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about. Jesus says, I will reveal the eternal purpose of God. And what Paul had to say about that.
Ephesians 1:11, Passion Translation.
Yeah.
Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny that we would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart.
Is that not a revelation?
Oh, it's huge.
Thinking about this right here. Because
mm-hmm.
he goes on saying, today I become your father. But he says, ask of me, I'll give you the nations, and I will do it, he says, and they shall become your legacy, your dominion, your domain stretched. And he's going to shepherd the whole world. That's mm-hmm. exactly what he's saying. Man, that's huge. That's good.
Yeah. Well, God's doing it. We're just caught up in it.
Yes. As your father, I have crowned you as my eternal king. Today I became your father. Ask of me and I will give you the nations. Ask me to give you the nations and I will do it. Mm-hmm. He accomplishes every purpose in his heart. This is the pleasure of God.
Mm-hmm.
In his son, he is well pleased to bring many sons unto glory.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's, you talking about that inheritance. You said something about the inheritance. Verse 5 in that same Ephesians 1, verse 5. I think, thinking about inheritance, how does that say it?
For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for the beloved Jesus, he has for us, and this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure.
Mm. So I said, ask me to give you the nations, and I will do it, and they shall become your legacy.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about, legacy, inheritance.
Yeah. He's creating this family. And
he's
in this family.
Well,
yeah, depending on how you want to describe it.
He's revealing the family because it was created before he got started.
Yes, yes. But I think that's our problem. I go back to our problem is we don't have the right language to describe it.
Yeah.
Because it's a matter of where you're sitting and how you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because it's before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's an unfolding. The plan was there.
Yeah.
It's unfolded in time.
Yeah, yeah.
we were created in Christ before the foundation of the world, but we're coming into it through the course of time, history, our lifetime.
That might be a good title for that book on the kingdom. End time.
End time? Like I-N time?
End time.
End time?
Before time. What's he doing now? End time.
End time. Well, and I think how you talk about it, understand it, your current perception, because what we mentioned about, we're complete in Christ right now.
Yeah.
But in my experience, I feel like I'm lacking.
Yeah.
Or I haven't matured or stepped in or accessed or grown into certain areas.
Yeah.
But I am complete.
Mm-hmm. They talked about that on that podcast a little bit, Rethinking God with Tacos. It was Jason, Dub, and Ryan. Talked a little bit about that. First, you have to become aware of it in order to access it. And you can begin to align yourself to it. I forget, he used probably about 5 different A's.
Oh, there we go.
But that's what he was saying, being complete, being righteous, being in Christ. You have to become aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Before you're talking about getting in on it, being benefited, you know?
Right, right. Well, and then, but I go back to, how are we describing what we're experiencing?
Yeah.
Am I those pigs on the side of the road up there?
We might need to get us some of them.
Little bitty pigs.
We ain't gonna be able to catch them.
It's 3 little bitty pigs. That's all 3 little pigs.
Yeah, you did.
Well, there they are.
About 5, 4 of them, I see. I wonder where their mom is. There's another one. There's
you know she's out there somewhere.
Oh, yeah, there's probably.
Why don't you get out there and chase them around and see if she'll come?
Oh, she will. There's probably a dozen of them. I saw one cross like that one time. Too. I was counting them 2, 4, 6. I counted 30 pigs.
Oh, wow.
One big one. The way wildlife has a way of interrupting our conversations.
Yeah, I don't even know what I was talking about, James.
Talking about our ideas.
Yeah, how
communicating,
we communicating our concepts.
Our wholeness in Christ. I mean, Jesus, God didn't do anything halfway.
Right.
It's done. It's finished.
Well, I think it was, I heard, Don was the first one I heard say, when was I saved? Before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
Okay, now, there's a moment in time of my life where I came into an awareness and an experience of that.
Uh-huh.
And that's predominantly how I think about it and talk about it. But that is a limited view.
Yeah. Yeah, but the reality was,
When you realize there's an eternal plan that was birthed out of his pleasure.
His heart.
And he always.
Where that cross was eternally.
It's who he is.
Embedded in his heart. Self-giving.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that we were birthed out of that divine pleasure. Man.
Yeah.
Well, it's
a perfection of relationship that he's bringing us into. And that's a slow journey.
Yes, it is. But you know, Larry, my experience has been.
Let's see where those hogs have rooted all that up.
All the both sides of the room. All in the woods. It's just, it's like, I know we've talked about it before, but it's like walking into this field. You're coming out of the woods into this pasture. And this, as the sun rises, I don't know. But it's like you're getting into a more open and it's open. It just keeps opening up the freedom. With that freedom comes peace and love and joy, assurance, conviction, a steadfastness. It's just life.
Yeah.
And it just gets more fuller. I don't know how to say it, deeper.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like that love Paul talked about that you might know in Ephesians 3, the breadth and depth and width and height. Know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. It gets better. That's another reason I want to just try to get the word out, you know. I see so many people, older people, that seem to be just enduring life.
Well,
you know, just, you know.
Okay, I'll go back to the picture you were painting about coming out of the woods into an open field.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that for many people, the woods is more like a thicket.
Yes.
And it's dark and it's confining and it's got a bunch of thorns
scratching,
and the more you move around in the thicket, more painful it is.
Yeah, that's true.
So people resign themselves, well, I've cleared out a little of a thicket here to make my life tolerable.
Yeah.
But I'm satisfied. I don't want to press through. Yeah, I know you tell me there's this wide open space in that direction, but all I see is more thicket that I.
Yeah.
When it's really not not as far out as you think it is. It's just we won't follow him.
Yeah. He's trying to lead us within.
Yes.
To a broken place so he can heal it. I'm not trying to say deny or disregard any pain.
Oh, no.
Hey, thanks for listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. We hope it helps you find your way to experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love he has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website, findingourway.co.